The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hey, it's your boy Javonte Davis. Just finished my interview with Hollywood Unlocked on Censored. It went great. You know, I love the guys. A lot of amazing stuff. Like, they had good questions. I would love to come back.
What up, everybody? This is Jason Lee, and this is Hollywood Unlocked Uncensored.
It's your boy Giovanni. Hold on.
And we got are you the champ now?
Yeah, I'm the champ.
Okay.
Two-time champ.
Okay, we got the two-time champ, Javonte Davis, in the building.
Yes, sir.
What's good?
Okay, so the last time I interviewed you, it was me, you, and Floyd sitting in his kitchen talking about the McGregor fight. And you were scheduled to fight the next day, and I went up there to watch you and support you, and you didn't make weight. What happened?
Just messing around with Floyd, you know, just didn't make weight.
So, like, okay, so I don't know boxing. All I know is you and Floyd. So when a boxer doesn't make weight, I mean, you were the champ at the time, right?
Yeah.
You had the belt.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get the belt when we were in New York at the Barclays?
Yeah.
Okay, which was the first time I'd seen you fight in person. And I think it was the first time I've seen a boxer fight that reminded me of Mike Tyson, because you were, like, beating the shit out the guy. It was hurting me, and I was, like, four rows back. So when you got the title in New York, you were the what championship belt was that?
IBF.
Okay, so the IBF featherweight?
Or was super it featherweight.
Super featherweight.
I mean, light, super light. Right?
No, nigga, don't act like you know what boxing. We don't know nothing about
boxing. I'm asking a goddamn question.
That means you super light, huh, nigga? Not a feather in our pillow. Anyway. All right, so you're the champ, and then you get there. And because I remember we were together, like, I think the night before. So when you get there and you don't make weight, how do you feel at, like, how does that feel at that moment?
Just messed up because, you know, I let everybody down, you know, so it was messed up. Then also, I didn't perform right. So I got a lot of backlash, you know, me being Floyd fighter, you know, and not looking good and lost weight. And at that time, I was around Floyd 24/7, so it backlashed on me and Floyd, you know, and the whole company. So,
but you were off like what a pound?
No, I was off like two pounds.
2 pounds,
yeah.
So you couldn't just like throw up or something or take a shit. I mean, I don't know how that works.
Nah, it was hard.
It wasn't Waterweight, huh?
No, it wasn't Waterweight.
Oh shit.
Okay, so we started forward. Let's go all the way back. So you're from Baltimore, Maryland. You're one of the. You're a proud person from Baltimore, Maryland, because you promote your city probably more than anybody.
Yeah.
Tell me about your childhood, because like you, like me, I was in foster care. You're a product of foster care.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about your upbringing, because a lot of our people may not know you outside of boxing and know your story.
I actually, you know, my father and mother was on drugs. And, you know, me and my brothers got taken away from our mother when we was young. And we went through foster care and things like that. We were split up. So once we came from foster care, our grandmother got us. You know, from there, you know, we was new kid on the block, new kid on school. So I used to fight all the time. Like, I used to fight my brother battle and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he older than me, you know. So one day I was fighting in front of my doorstep, and my uncle came out there. And he was like, he told me to break it up. I mean, he broke it up, and then he took me to the gym from there. So once he took me to the gym, I was getting the love at the gym that I needed at home. So,
wow.
And there was kids around and things like that. So,
do you feel
I stuck in there.
Yeah, so you feel like a lot of that spawned. Did you have anger problems? Because I have anger issues. Did that come from anger issues, not having your mom or your parents and going through the system? What spawned that anger for you to be fighting your own brother like that?
Not now. I think, like, I'm old enough and, you know, I know right from wrong. So I don't think that's a big issue now. Like, people say that, you know, you should still have it, but I don't think that's a big issue because you're older now. I'm doing stuff, you know, I'm doing stuff positive, and, you know, my brothers and them still, you know, get smoke and stuff like that. But I think that, you know, I know right from wrong, and I'm doing good right now. So,
So when you were fighting your brother back then, were you fighting the way you fight now? Like beating people up the way that you
beat?
Really?
Yeah, I was always aggressive.
This is
always.
Without gloves, though.
Yeah.
So you were really hurting people.
Yeah, I was always aggressive.
Did you know then that you had the talent? Did you know then that you had the talent for boxing, that you could shape it into something productive? Or were you just fighting?
No, I was boxing back then, too.
Okay,
so
okay.
I was one of the kids that was winning, like, all my fights. So I knew I was good. And once I won my first championship when I was 10 years old, I knew that I'd be champion.
Wow. It was crazy before I came to know you through Floyd and boxing professionally. Well, you were boxing professionally. I remember somebody sending me a video of you a long time ago, and they were like, this motherfucker is kicking their ass. And I remember going to your Instagram and just going through all the videos, and I was like, man, he's, you know, you definitely have a commercial look. You know, you were very positive on your social media, and you were beating people up. So you've been fighting for how long professionally? Since you were what old?
Since I was seven years old.
So that's about 16 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so as a 7 year old, you just walk in the ring and beat the shit out of another 7 year old and go home?
Yeah, we would just fight like around the whole gym. Actually, one of my coach's sons, we used to fight all the time. And he was bigger than me, you know, so we was fighting. Actually, we got into it outside of boxing, and he wound up busting my nose, and I was crying. And one of my coaches was like, you're not going to fight because you're crying. And then he was like, my main coach, he told me, like, you're going to fight. So I was crying, like, bad. I was mad because he said I wouldn't box no more. Like, I want to have an Ashley fight.
But you were crying because that was the passion you had for fighting.
Yeah, because he said I couldn't fight, not because I couldn't train and things like that. So
did you feel like, having been through the foster care system and all that with your parents and all of that, did you feel like fighting was your way out? Like, were you that committed to it because you felt like that was what was going to get you out of your situation?
Yeah. I think boxing saved me. You know, my coach always told me, like, if I wasn't in boxing, then I would be, like, a killer, like, because he see it in my face. He see it, like, how when I swing or how aggressive I am in the ring. So
for people that are listening that have never seen him fight, you have to go to YouTube or wherever the fuck his fights are, because I'm going to tell you, when we were in New York, first of all, I have ADD. To sit down and watch anything is just whatever. And Floyd has a lot of boxers. But unlike all of them, you have the star quality. Like, you really... You were going up against, I don't know who that Mexican dude was in New York, but you were beating him so bad that I was sitting there saying, if somebody don't stop this fight, this kid is going to die. You kept beating him, and then you won. Was that the first time you won a championship belt?
Yes.
So how did it feel that night? Because I think Floyd got in the ring and said, basically, you were the next face of boxing.
Yeah, I actually, you know, I felt, coming into the fight, I felt like everybody was against me. Like, even they was picking him to win, like, the odds was crazy. So I felt like I was coming at, like, I was against everybody in that arena. So,
but Floyd too?
Everybody. Like, I blanked out. Like, it was just so,
You were fighting. You did feel like you were fighting, and it looked like you were proving something.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. So
was it personal?
Yeah, it was personal. It was personal.
What's your mindset like when you walk into that ring, when you get in that square? And you're looking at this guy that's probably bigger than you, probably might be stronger, more arm length. What's your mindset?
Kill him. Yeah.
Kill him.
So when you're hitting the person, because Floyd used to be more of an offensive fighter, but now towards the end of his career, he was more defensive, right? You're offensive. Like, you're rushing them. You're not waiting for them to come to you.
No.
Damn, that's that 23 arrow shit, man. And Baltimore mentality.
Yeah.
You was fighting every day to live in the streets.
Hell yeah.
But that's where it goes back to reminding me of Tyson. Tyson didn't dance around in the ring. Tyson, just, like, as soon as that bell rang, he was in your face. I'm like, damn, nigga, we just started. So when a person is an offensive fighter, is that typically earlier in their career, or does the body wear down as years go by and then you just switch up your style, or how does that work?
No, I think how your trainer taught you. But Floyd, his father always was taught defense. So he was mostly a defensive fighter. Like, he was sharp, like, with defense. So he basically a counterpuncher. So that's how I am, but I'm aggressive. So.
And you're throwing all those hits. You're not getting tired.
No.
23, man. What's your diet like? What's your, do you drink? Do you smoke?
No, I don't drink or smoke.
you're going to ask a professional fighter on the air if he drinks or smokes.
Let's sit and let fucking Ron Artest and J.R. Smith.
Okay, but they ain't allowed to drink or
well,
smoke.
Shit, I don't know. I'm asking a goddamn question.
Speaking of drinking, you and Adrian were together the other night. I was in New York laying in my bed watching TMZ, and it looked like you were trying to save Adrian from himself.
Yeah, because why would he? I didn't want him to say that. Like, if 50 and Floyd got something going on, that's their business.
So for those listening, Floyd Mayweather and 50 Cent have this big fight going on where people are posting crazy shit, and they caught Adrian and you coming out of a club. Adrian had been, sipping a little bit too much, it looked like, and they asked him what he thought about it, and he went on and on and on. But you
No, they didn't ask him. He said that. He said, hold up. And I was like,
I got something to say.
Yeah. But it's funny because like Tank was like the little brother trying to beg him to stop talking, but he just kept going.
He just kept going. I didn't want him to say that at all. Like, that business is
What did he
business.
Say, though? Because I don't even know what he said.
Basically, he was saying both men need to stop. He was weighing in and giving an opinion where he should just stay out of it.
Yeah.
Because it has nothing to do with him.
Well, right. I will say this. I mean, I've met Adrian. Now it's my first time meeting you. You're a lot more humbler. You're a lot more humble. You're a lot more approachable.
Yeah.
What do you think that, what do you think that is? Is just because...
Tank is not that. Tank ain't all that humble. Tank is a nice guy. But Tank, I saw Tank on South Beach. I'm telling you, all he needed... was a flock of bitches, a cigar, and a camera.
I guess it depends on the environment, huh?
No, I'm always humble. Sometimes I might, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
See, you'll be the type of short dude somebody would see at a club and be like, hey, nigga, you in my way. And
oh, No.
No. Then you turn around and say,
yeah.
Get you know, watch what you say to me. But they think they could get you and then die.
No, I did.
Well, he got his hands are registered, man. He'll go.
Nobody will even. People be trying me though, but you'll it don't go far.
You get it. So it don't go far. Who shuts it down? You shut it down. Your homie shut it down.
I shut it down.
Wait, so people, regular people on the streets try you today?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. You think females and everything, they be just trying me.
Do you think that's people that know who you are or still don't?
Yeah, they know that I got an attitude problem. So when you say something, I go off.
They want to be that one person. Like, yeah, I'm the nigga that.
But yeah. Do you realize at this point you're rich, you have a lot to lose, you're a star? Do you realize now
that... But I still have an attitude problem. Like.
Right, but nigga, you're not in Baltimore walking... Okay, I have to tell a story real quick. I was in Baltimore for Ted Roosevelt had this big thing with the unions. And so I had to go to Western Union. I get in a taxi. They take me to Western Union. I pull up at a stoplight. A 13-year-old kid tried to sell me crack while I was sitting in the taxi.
You
I was like, nigga, do I look like I smoke crack? But Baltimore is really rough.
Yeah. Baltimore rough.
So have you been able to leave the Baltimore mentality, though? Like, what? I'm not in Baltimore anymore.
No. I think I got to, like, actually move from Baltimore. Like, I still be from Baltimore and Atlanta. I really want to move out here. I am going to move out here.
You need to move out here. This is where the stars are. You on your way. You're going to be in movies. You're going to be doing things. You get out here, start going to Le Petit Four. You're going to be bougie. Stay away from all that. Because, you know, the thing about it that frustrates me with people like a you or even a Floyd is that, like, God bless y'all out of everybody with a gift. So why, you know, he blessed you to get out so you can be an example to people to get out.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about moving out here. Well, I am going to move out here.
Because, you know, today's an anniversary, right? It was the anniversary you got into a physical altercation last year on August 1st.
Whoa.
With somebody you got arrested. Remember you got charged with
first degree.
It got dropped though. But it was, I guess, one of your friends you got into it with.
Oh, so I was training and my brother disrespected me. My oldest brother, the one I used to fight for, disrespected my mother. So I said, when I see him, I'm going to knock him out. I told my mother that. So I was training and my mother told me that he coming to the gym, but don't hit him. I'm like, all right, cool. I was in the ring training, and he came in there, and he tried to speak, so I didn't speak to him. So he spoke again, I didn't speak. He said, you need to start acting like a bitch-ass nigga, like that.
Oh, shit.
So my security was in the gym, too, so he didn't let me hit my brother, but his homeboy was right there.
So his homeboy had to take the L?
The homeboy, he had to get it.
I'm telling everybody right now, if you are the reason why I get my ass kicked, we can't be friends no more.
Yes, homeboy took an L for him.
Yeah, and I had gloves on. I knocked them smooth out.
Oh my God. Yeah. And what'd you do? Look at your brother, said that was supposed to be your ass.
No, they threw him out the gym.
So what's your brother's relationship with your mom like now? Better?
Yeah, it's good. But we cool now. We cool now.
What's your brother's relationship with his boy now?
They not even cool. They for each other. They for each other.
Yeah, so. I fought his ass too. Got my ass. Okay, yeah. So recently I was on your Instagram and I saw that you had a baby.
Yeah, I did.
Wow. So this is your is a daughter.
Yes.
So what did you name your baby?
Giovanni.
Okay, so they say that when people have kids, the kids change them. Do you feel, because I saw you saying like this was the best feeling you ever had and stuff like that. Do you feel like having the baby change you?
Yeah, I'm actually, around her, I'm more softer.
Really?
And also, I went through with my baby mother when she was having the child. So my whole looks on women is I have a lot of respect for them. They go through a lot in pregnancy.
That's true. I'm a father myself. My daughter's 16. And when I first see my daughter born to this world, it changed my visual and everything. Was you there when she was born?
Yeah.
They had a beautiful baby shower. You know, they had the whole pink theme thing. Mm-hmm.
It was fire.
So where did this girl come from? Because I don't remember seeing you. Not that I know. Because you're real private too. Like you're not messy. So I didn't know who you were involved with. Is this somebody that you wanted to have a baby with, or was this like, oops?
She was the one that I wanted to have a baby with. Actually, I knew her for, I was messing around with her for 5 years before Floyd, before I signed with Floyd, when I was only signed to Al Heyman.
So when you were with her, have you been able to at least sow your seed with the fans who, I mean, because girls are sliding in your DM talking about, knock this pussy out, because I see you knocking people out.
And when I took a picture with Trina, all rumors came to her, like me and Trina.
Well, no, you and Trina were messing around.
No, oh,
Trina, Miami Trina, the rapper.
Yeah,
boy, no, if you don't, my ear. Hold on, where my ear at? My ear. This ear is to the street. You and Trina had okay. So you and Trina were friends.
We was cool.
That was fucking.
No, we wasn't.
Oh, I go put that
so,
out.
So you no. and Trina.
Trina have a boyfriend.
You had a girlfriend.
That's the best scenario to be in.
I just recently interviewed Nick Cannon. And he said that being a side nigga has been the best thing that's ever happened.
Yeah.
To him.
Yeah, Venice. Yeah.
Okay, we'll let you live. All right. So how do you feel that so you feel like the baby is your daughter's helped you to appreciate women more?
Yeah. No, not the baby, but process. Just the process. Okay. Just seeing her, she was crying, she had cramps, and I'm like in the bed with her, like in the hospital bed with her, so I was knocked out.
Okay, so let's get to it. So, you know, Floyd is one of my closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
Floyd, how did your relationship with Floyd start? Because I've seen it, it's almost like a father-son, mm-hmm. then a homie, then a mortal enemy than an online war. Like, I don't know what's going on. And I never call him to ask him because I really feel like Floyd's relationships outside of ours don't, like, it has nothing to do with me. You know, and Al in the back, he has his relationship. We all have our relationships. But how did the relationship start where you went from doing your own thing to becoming a part of the whole money team or Floyd and Al Heyman world?
Man, Floyd, I actually pulled a sign with Floyd probably like 2 years before I signed with him. But the guy that I was going through wasn't legit. I mean, so he got kicked out around Floyd and things like that. So I actually went to Vegas for Adrian versus Sean Porter, mm-hmm. you know, their fight. So once I was there, I sparred one of Floyd guys at the gym.
Who, Jillian or
someone? No, I sparred Devin Haney.
Okay.
So when I sparred Devin Haney, Floyd liked the way I fought, so he called me. He had his assistant that contact me. I want to say like within that same week. So mm-hmm. they called me back out there. They had me out there. He actually moved me out there. He bought me a car, a $60,000 car, a chain and a watch. All together, probably was like
kind of whip was it? Shit,
it was a Rolex.
No, car, what kind of whip?
Oh, a Jeep.
Got you.
Like, it was like a, I think I signed with him, what, like 2015 mm-hmm. or 16? So it was like in that year. So me signing with him, he took me everywhere. It's like we built a relationship. Like he was like a father. Like he still is. So he looked at me like a son. His son's didn't box, so he gravitated to me more. So
yeah, because you went from. I mean, I've been around Floyd for probably 4 or 5 years, and I remember there were a lot of boxers that were really close, and then there was you.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And how did the relationship grow into, you know, you all just him supporting you and him being there for you to now you becoming a part of? Did you start with Al Haymon first?
Yeah, I started with Al Haymon, and then I signed with Floyd.
Okay.
But just me being around, he always wanted me around him, and I liked to be around him and things like that. So it was like me and him, like he seen himself in me. Mm-hmm. So that would make like him like me a lot. Like he always, when he wake up, he called me. Things like that. So we built a father and son relationship.
Were you a fan of Floyd as a boxer before?
Of course.
Yeah.
Floyd was like a god in boxing, you know, to us growing up. So I'm signing with Floyd, it made like, it was a good match. I wrote probably like 2012 or 13, like, I'm only going to sign with Floyd. I'm not going to sign with nobody else. And but around the time Floyd didn't have, I don't think he had fighters at that time.
Mayweather, yeah. Boxing, all that.
And then he went to jail. So,
what part of him was what part of Floyd and the fighter or the brand was it that attracted you to wanting to sign him? Was it the lifestyle? Was it the coming from nothing and becoming the best, or the fighting, or what was it?
Just the lifestyle and the way he fight. He was like always a good fighter. Like I watched Floyd when he was like my age, so he was real good at my age, so I always watched that. And then I watched his lifestyle, his females they had around, like jewelry, the money, the cars. I loved it.
And you said that I want all that. Yeah. Did you think at the time that you can come from being poor or a foster kid or anything that you can get where you are right now?
Nah, I didn't. I used to ask myself, like, because my uncle, one of my uncles, he not blood related, but he's my uncle. Like, he's seen me grow up and things like that. And we look alike. Mm-hmm. So he used to have a car, but my family never had no cars. So I used to ask myself, like, is I'm going to have a car when I get older? And things really? Like that, yeah.
Okay, but before we go too far, are people now calling you and asking you for money? Like, do people call and say, can you pay for this? Can you buy me this? And do you feel obligated to do shit? Because I hope you don't.
Nah, the only one can call me and ask me for money is my mother. Your and mother. My baby mother.
Okay. And you're comfortable with that?
Yeah. Like, they can ask me for anything and I give it to them.
No homies, but, no
but
money.
But yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
I really know. Yeah, my homies, but it's, I don't want to speak.
Well, can I say something on that line? So, you know, I'm gonna just talk like Floyd ain't gonna listen. One of the biggest things that Floyd was always concerned about, because I always think he thought of you as like a son. Mm-hmm. Like, he really talked about you, like, you know, privately. Mm-hmm. We talk about you privately, like, you're the next, the big thing. You're his son. Like, he was really proud. He's really proud of you. Still is. One of the things he used to always be concerned with was that you felt you needed to go back to the hood with the homies. Like, he felt like you needed to be there. And I could understand growing up from Stockton, I mean, that sense of loyalty to your homies and people that have been there with you. But was that an issue then? Is it still an issue now?
It just, like, I come from that. So it's like the new life was, I was, like, always running from it because I'm not used to it. You know, I'm used to the hood. Like, I can still go to the hood right now with all my jewelry on and things like that, money and things like that, and I'd be comfortable. Mm-hmm. So I always, that's what I did, you know what I mean? And then I was away from that for like 6 months because I was around Floyd. Mm-hmm. And so once I got too caught up, I was like, I have to go back home. Like, I wasn't even around my mother or
so you felt like to go back to what was normal.
Safe
haven. So it's where you felt comfortable.
Yeah, I was super comfortable in like the hood. Mm-hmm. So the new lifestyle, it was like, what I'm doing here?
Mm-hmm. Did you feel like you didn't belong there?
Yeah.
Why?
Because that's where I come from the hood, so no, I'm used to that.
Why didn't you feel like you belonged around? Because stepping into Floyd's world is very different for people that don't know, and you can't really even explain it. Why did you feel like you didn't belong there?
I come from the hood, so the hood was all I knew. Like, they say out here, like L.A., like the drugs, is like a party drug, is coke. In the hood, if you do coke, we look at you like crazy.
Right, right.
I mean, like, if somebody asks me to do coke, I look at them like.
Swear to God, true story. Somebody just came to my house today with some weed when I got here from the airport and pulled out four things of cocaine, talking about, can I use your restaurant? No. Yeah.
Fucking cocaine.
That shit ruined my mom's life. No.
Yeah.
Now they mad at me in my text talking about, but they can't fuck with me no more because you can't bring coke in my house.
That's funny. Do you, have you found a way to discern, like, which one of your friends, like, really, really needs some money or just, like, just asking? Like, do you still got homies that, like, you grew up with that ain't doing too good, that you know needed? You bless them, or do you have you found that way to?
Nah, I had homies that I did. I bought them cars before my mom. But my mom didn't know how to drive. Like, she still don't know how to drive. Mm-hmm. Like, she, I bought her like a little hoodie because she keep crashing her cars. No, for real, I don't want to spend no crazy money and she crash it.
Right.
I mean, so I got her a hoodie like to drive around and things like that.
No, what
she know how to drive.
You're a superstar. What you do now is you call Uber and you get her a lifetime Uber account and let her Uber anywhere she want to go so she get a driver and she ain't got to pay for it.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, we need to get this branding together. Okay, so you say you bought your friend's cars before your mom. Do you think that that was the thing that started the pressure between you and Floyd? Because I know, like, I can see from your angle where, you know, you started boxing on your own. You came, grew up through it on your own. You you get in the ring by yourself. And so as a man, being able to survive the streets of Baltimore, being able to get in the ring and fight on your own, it's kind of hard to then have somebody come in and try to be your parent.
Yeah.
Do you feel like him trying to influence you not to go back to the hood and do shit for people that you love was the start of you guys starting to have problems?
Yeah, sort of.
But did you feel like you could just talk to him about it and say, look, nigga, relax?
It's basically like, that's like, I'm telling my father, like, he gonna always say don't go. Because he know it's bad for me and that's where I came from. So... And he know I get into, and I was getting into hella trouble when I go to the hood. So I was like fighting and all types of stuff, like having guns on me. Like that, so
do you get the lesson that he was trying to give you then now? Do you get it
now? Yeah, I get it now.
Okay.
That's why I'm trying to, I'm moving out here. Okay. I think I'd be more better in LA than Baltimore.
So when you were going off online, it was you and Josue and a couple other boxers just going in really dissatisfied with Floyd. Somebody had tweeted, when's your next fight or when you getting out of your contract or something. You said, I want to know too or whatever. Was you and Floyd, where are you at right now?
He just called me like 30 minutes before I got here.
You tell me you were coming here?
No.
Me neither. Okay, so you guys are good now?
Yeah, we're great.
Okay, so you're signed to Mayweather Promotions or to Al Haymon?
I'm signed to both. I'm signed to Al Haymon and Floyd Mayweather.
How does that work? Is Al your...
manager.
He's your manager and Floyd is your promoter.
Promoter.
You got it good.
Damn, you got it super good.
So how do you, because you're still the fighter that has to get in the ring and beat everybody up. And you're the star. Yeah. So like, how do you manage? That's two powerful people to be in the middle of. How do you manage that?
It's a great feeling. You know, I grew up and like all the guys I was around, they were signed to, well, the older guys were signed to Al Haymon, like Adrian, Danny. Everybody was signed to Al Haymon, and I heard that he was a good manager. So I always knew.
Wait, but you know who Al Haymon is, though.
Yeah, I know who.
No, Al beyond what you know, like you know, he's like.
Al
Haymon checks.
You know what Al Haymon looks like, right?
Yeah.
Nobody in here does.
I don't know who the fuck that. I just know about him from Drake rapping about him.
No, Al Haymon powerful.
No, like Al Haymon can call presidents.
Yeah.
Wow.
He powerful.
And so you understand the power that you have in terms of having.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Like I said, I did another interview this past week, and I said that my daughter, who I want in her life, is Al Haymon and Lauren Shavakin. Lauren Shavakin is a part of me.
Who was that?
He work on my team as like basically like a mentor,
like a life coach or something.
Yeah,
like that. Okay, that can help guide you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're good friends with Meek Mill.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Meek Mill.
It's my homie.
I'm more of a fan of Meek Mill now because of how he's taken a political stand against kind of what he's been going through with incarceration and this unfair probation. What have you learned from being around Meek or being friends with Meek? Because I see you guys are really close and he's been supportive. Both of you have been supportive of each other.
Meek Mill, when I first came to LA, it was with Meek Mill. You know, he come from the hood, so we clicked. You know, and I feel like he one of the realest dude that rap in the industry. Mm-hmm. You know, so we always clicked. You know, he always supported me before I was even big. And also when Floyd fought, it was probably about like 2015. And he was like, I was in the stands, and he was like, "You gonna fight here one day?" You know what I mean? And he was like, "Let's take a picture." But my phone was dead, so I was like, "My phone dead." You know what I mean? Before I even got big, because he actually signed somebody from Baltimore named Chino. That's like my homie, like we like best friends. Mm-hmm. So he signed Chino, so he always used to come to Baltimore and Philly, like probably like an hour away from Baltimore. So he always came to Baltimore. That's how we knew each other.
So it was organic. He was there before the fame. And
Yeah.
So when you see him going through what he's going through, it's not new to you, right? I mean, you know from the hood that the legal system isn't designed to help us, really.
Yeah, but it's motivation. Like, if he can get through that and he making a way to get through it, I mean, it's pushing me, like, what I'm going through ain't nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pushing me. It helped me. And he was one of the guys that always helped me, like, if I didn't want to go to the gym, listen to his music and things like that, and it drive me to go to the gym.
So Adrian Broner is probably one of the few people in the industry that I try to stay away from. And the reason isn't because, I mean, we've been on the jet together. You know, he'll sit there, I'll sit here, I'll be looking out the window, because I just, he comes off so unstable.
Unpredictable.
What is it that's created the bond between you two? Because you guys seem to be close and hang out, and I know he's supportive of you and you are with him, but like, he seems like just a loose cannon.
Yeah, he is. He is a loose cannon. But man, Adrian, we've been together forever. So he was one of the guys that, like, we was close. You know what I mean? In boxing.
Way before.
Yeah, way before.
So before you were with Floyd or Al, knew Adrian.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, Adrian used to call out and like, I'm with Tank and things like that. And I used to tell Adrian, like, put in a word for me with Al.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I always was around Adrian. I was probably like, I want to say like 14, 15 around Al. Mm-hmm. I mean, around Adrian. And also one time, my coach dropped me off in Ohio because they had a tournament in like another state. So he dropped me off in Ohio and, he dropped me off with Adrian, so I was with Adrian, and I told my coach, like, I'm not coming back home, and he had to come and get me. Mm-mm. So we were in the government forever.
So you and Adrian are homies. Do you feel now that you're Floyd and he's Gervonta, that you now have to parent him? Because the way you looked on the TMZ the other day, it was like you got to
make it. He said do crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I already know what he gonna do.
Not to cut you off, the thing is, like, after Kanye lost his mother, he went off the Richter scale. When I started noticing Adrian kind of going off the Richter scales after he lost his first fight, after he'd been undefeated, do you think that had something to do with it? That whole
was transition? That was
probably so.
Was that Madonna?
I don't know who it was, but when he lost
it was Madonna.
When he lost his first fight after being undefeated, it just, I don't know, he went into that Kanye.
Nah, he used to be wilder than that, though.
Oh, wow.
Like, super wild. He used to, like, knock people out and things like that, like pissing clubs. He used to be wild.
I remember I think he said something about the Mexicans. I mean, he literally says and does what he wants. I mean, the Madonna fight was pretty bad, though. So do you look at yourself as a brand yet? Like, do you look at yourself like, okay, I want to become an entrepreneur in real estate? Because you're surrounded by two people that literally have changed not just boxing, but entertainment and money. Like, Floyd and Al are just extremely powerful and brilliant at what they do. Do you look at yourself now and say, I'm a brand, I want to be a billionaire, I'm going to get into all these different things?
Yes, that's another reason why I want to, you know, branch out to LA. I mean, I want to move here so I can build my brand and things like that, and, you know, be a bigger person on my own, not connected to Floyd and Al, but still, you know what I mean?
Well, be connected to him, but not rely on him for everything.
What does that brand look like to you? What do you see in the Tank world?
I feel like I can be big, like super big, if I stay focused.
Because you and I got the hookup too. I saw you on set.
Oh, yeah. I was just there, and Master P told Adrian and me to, you know, be in that scene, like a scene when a girl bring a bottle up to the club, mm-hmm. to him in the club and things like that.
Got you.
Okay, so now with your baby here and your baby mom, are you all together? You guys are together?
Yeah, we're together.
So you're not single? You know, I like to throw a little curveball here. But anyway, we'll move right along. I got the answer on you. No, because if you move to LA, you know, like the girls here, no disrespect to all of you beautiful plastic bunnies running around. These girls here were designed by a doctor in Beverly Hills to find a nigga like you to come up.
Yeah, man. You got the whole.
I'll get you some good ones. I don't know if he's single. Call me.
Look, you got the whole goddamn LA starter kit, magnet, thought package, the chains. You got the chains. You got the clothes. All you need is a bottle of Ciroc.
And I think you got a Rolls Royce too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Rafe, push that thing out here.
I got that and a Ferrari.
Ferrari 458?
Yeah.
Okay, ladies. Yep. It's a wrap for y'all.
So I want to go back to. Brooklyn, when you were fighting at the Barclays, I remember watching you. I'm not gonna get too deep. You know, I'm too in it to have a conversation and not say everything. But I'll just say that I remember there was a lot of tension at the time between you and a lot of people. Yeah. And I remember when you got in there, the conversation on the sideline was, "This gonna be a tough fight for Tank. This one right here is gonna be tough." And I remember when you got in, it wasn't even like a glimpse of smiling or nothing. You just got in and whooped his ass. And then when you won, what I respected about you was, even in the midst of proving everybody wrong, you didn't say, "I told you so," or you weren't disrespectful. What is it that gives you the restraint to face like adversity or people who may be not necessarily as supportive or maybe setting you up, but not be nasty, rude, or, you know, disrespectful?
Cause I don't think that's the need on, like, in the public eye. You know what I mean, so if we got problems, if I have problems with anybody, like I'm close to, I'm never gonna latch out like out. You know what I mean, I tell you in your face, or we could even fight. You know what I mean, but I would never like do it like at that time, like on Showtime in front of millions of people. Mm-hmm. So,
like your buddy Adrian.
Yeah, Adrian, crazy.
I remember the night that you were with Al, and you had, it was so funny because we were all trying to lure you to Floyd's house. I forgot what for. It was like day or two before the fight. And Al's assignment, Al had one job to do. Al's job was to bring you to the house. You never made it. Didn't he drop you off and drove off?
Yeah.
Al walked in the house and we were like, "Where Tank at?" He was like, "He just drove off."
For real? Why'd you do that?
You know how, like, when your kids are rebelling, like when people are just like, "I ain't about to deal with that, so I'm just out." It was one of those situations. But anyway, yeah. I'm glad.
Was hungry. Probably was hungry.
Okay, so what do you think one of the biggest misconceptions are about you? Like, what do you think people think about you that's not true or that's maybe misunderstood?
Probably just my boxing. They think that's all that I do is bang, but I can really box. Like, I could box like Floyd if I wanted to. Mm-hmm.
Defensively.
Yeah. Like, so, all around. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when you were fighting in Brooklyn, I remember the punches were being thrown so fast. How do you avoid getting hit? That's what I don't understand. Because, like, there were a couple where I swear I thought he was going to connect, but you dodged it. How do you just have really good defensive skills or
I've reaction? Been doing it for seven, like, since I was seven. So, like, I could tell, like, how you position your body, like, how you going to throw the punch, things like that.
So I had Cardi B here, and I could tell when she made money because she got her teeth done, and I could see you got yours done. How much does it cost to get a smile like that? Because the smile looks expensive.
I only paid $15,000.
I only $15,000.
Only?
Rich people. Ain't that rich people shit?
Yeah. Oh, she only paid $15,000.
Yeah.
What you think about when Floyd got that $18 million watch? What was your first thought of your mind?
He balling for real. His people on a whole different level.
Did you see yourself buying something that extravagant?
Nah.
What did you think when he told 50 Cent that he needs to argue with his watch because they're on the same level?
That's funny.
Both of them funny as hell.
Yeah.
Just going back and forth with each other. Like, I just read that caption. They funny. Like, super funny. I actually, like, laugh at that caption. Because I don't take it serious because I know they really, like, they close. So, I just, like, they just beefing.
So, are you and Floyd now closer? You and him are closer where you can call him and say, "This is some bullshit. fix it, get it together. You have that.
At first I wasn't. That club, when I signed the L, I wasn't really like. I never talked to him. How I talked to Al, I called somebody from his team, and it was like, Al is my manager. I'm about to go for a world title. I never spoke to him yet. So that's when Al called me.
Yeah.
And then we talked.
But now you're close enough. Yeah, the relationship is real enough to where you can be real.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when you can really make things happen. Because I know in the early stages, it's figuring out that rhythm where, you know, because, you know, Floyd is a hothead too. And you a hothead, he a hothead. I'm hot. Everybody's a hothead around the
But Al is more, he older. So he'll tell me, you got to chill out. Mm-hmm. He'll tell me that, like, you got to calm down.
And do you say to yourself, like, this is the one person I'm going to always listen to?
Al is the one that I listen to. Like,
cause they don't know
Floyd too, but Al is the one that I really be like, yeah, I got to change. Like,
no, because Floyd said the same thing. He said, I don't care what anybody say, but whatever I'll say, that's what I do.
Yeah, whatever I'll say, I do it.
So what is next for you? Like, when is your next fight?
I fight in October.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Me and Adrian fighting together.
On the same card?
Yeah. He fighting main event, I'm fighting co-main event.
Okay, so you got the title back?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm starting to figure out these healthy habits. I am exactly 2 weeks away from turning 41, and my skin has never been better. I am now using BioClarity, as you know. I've been talking about it on the show. And I found that in my travels going to both Atlanta, New York, and Delaware, high humidity places, that I had to switch up my regimen. So I looked at BioClarity to see what the options were. And I use the clear skin routine. And that's usually for like a combination of oily skin and breakout prone skin. I broke out on my right side, went right and got to the left. So what it is, three easy steps: cleanse, treat, and restore. It contains nourishing plant extracts like chamomile, green tea, cucumber, licorice root, oat, kernel, plus Floralux from chlorophyll. All of these are things that I know my mama was using. But anyway, that's what I'm using now. And my skin is just better than ever.
Well, that's good, because I'm using the Essentials Routine. That's for normal or dry skin, even though I'm a little sweaty right now. But it's three easy steps: cleanse, restore, hydrate. Contains hydrating plant extracts like chamomile, green tea, and everything that Jason said as well. It's hydrating but lightweight, so great for spring and right now, summertime.
And this is the thing, people. People say, oh, they're just reading these off the paper. Yes, we are choosing brands that we believe can elevate your life or save you some money, because you guys matter to us, and the fact that you support our show. When we get opportunities to try new brands that work, we want to make sure we share them with you. So in order to get started on healthier habits with your skincare, just go to BioClarity.com, and all of our listeners will get the first month for 50% off of a routine. Plus, shipping is free. And it comes with 100% risk-free money-back guarantee. So all you have to do is enter my code UNLOCKED, and you get that. And that's BioClarity.com, and enter my code UNLOCKED, and you get it. And if you don't like it, you can send it back.
You're going to love it.
So when you didn't make weight, that means you literally had to relinquish your title.
Yeah. I think I still had the belt, but
the title.
Yeah. But somebody fighting for it Friday, tomorrow, and I'm going to call Al and ask him, can I fight for it? Like, when the champion won, whatever champion it is.
To reclaim the, or to keep the belt. Yeah,
but I got a different belt now.
Okay. And so, what is it? What type of person is it that you allow to become your friend now? I mean, Drake had said no new friends. I swear to God, I understand now why he said that, because you never really know people's intentions. How do you let people in now? Like, what does it take to become your friend?
Actually, my new friend's been good. It's my old homies that really trained, Cause I like I'm coming from like, I didn't have nothing, like I used to sleep on the floor, things like that. So just saying, my homies, like, they see that I'm big now, so they switch up on me. All of them.
Snoop said it best: you can't take everybody to the top with you, man.
Yeah.
And slowly as you get up there, people will start digging their own graves.
Yeah.
So are you okay now with walking away from the old homies and realizing that you still keeping it real?
Yeah, I mean, if we beef, then that's what it is.
Y'all can fight.
But I'm so, No,
they cannot fight.
No, one thing I would never do is fight my homeboy.
Got you.
Yeah, like if we beef, I still wouldn't, like, I would never.
Would you just cut him off, distance yourself?
Yeah, I would never fight my homeboy, like, ever. I never fought my, because I know the advantage I got. If I hit one of my homeboys, they'll be asleep.
So do you feel do you still feel like you have to go back to the hood?
No.
Because you know the way you can do that legally and make money? Is start a foundation.
Yeah. Huh?
Start a foundation.
Yeah.
And then you can go back to the hood and you can get a tax write-off and you could be doing good and then you get right the hell up out of there.
Yeah, I need to do that. I actually want to do that.
Well, if you need help, I can help you. I worked in nonprofits. I would love to see you go back to the hood and help, but get out the hood.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I want to do that, actually. Do it like 3 times a year or like 2.
Well, Fashion Nova, my friends at Fashion Nova are looking for nonprofits to put money into. So I'm down to help. I'm here. Okay, so do you have any other questions?
No, man. I'm just cold as shit in here. I'm looking at this. I just want to know. Floyd, come on here and be. Well, you know, you see the 18. What do you got? I want to know what the value is. Everything right now.
You can't ask a man.
I want to ask. I'm asking.
Nosy ass.
Cause Floyd be quick.
Doing
the math in his hair right now.
Yeah. Probably like $300,000.
Everything?
That's crazy. Okay, well, I mean, at least you still have it, so if ever you need to melt it, return it, some shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right, so to all the ladies that live in the 90028 area, you can slide in this DM. We're going to put it right here at the bottom. All right, well, I'm glad we actually talked, man. You can come anytime and any way we can support you. I got your back. I'm glad that you and Floyd have figured that out because I know privately. See, the thing I know about Floyd is he's stubborn as fuck. He ain't never going to say to your face when he's mad at you, I really, really love you. But I can tell you privately, and he can tell you, because he'd be talking about you to us, is he really, really cares about you.
Yeah.
So.
He do.
All right, well, when you get super, super rich and famous, don't act like you don't know this little show, because we on our way to big things, too. I
appreciate you coming by, Tank.
Yeah, appreciate it for having me. All right,
cool. All right, so I guess we'll just do a two-party weekend recap. I've had a very busy week, but first, let's start with you. What'd you do?
Oh, my God. Well, as you know, my baby girl was here for about 3 weeks, and she just
left. How was that?
Oh, my God. It was great, and it was horrible at the same goddamn time.
Why?
She burnt a hole, not in my pocket, but through my soul. That's how deep that pocket. She's a teenager now, so, you know, she came out here. She was out here on a few dance scholarships. It's just expensive. That girl can eat.
Mm. She can eat. She's growing. She's a growing woman.
She can eat, and she has very expensive taste. You guys, I don't know where she got that from.
You guys did a video that I thought was really creative. You actually, your big ass was out there moving.
Yeah, man, I mean,
it was really creative. Did you guys choreograph that together or how that
work? My boy Jabari and myself, my daughter just sat there and just learned it. Mm. But you know, I spent a lot of fucking money on this. She went back with about 8 pair of shoes. I had to buy a whole new suitcase just for her to get on that plane, man.
Well, it looked like she had a good time. It looked like you had a good time.
I did. I needed that. I will say this. I needed that. Mm-hmm. Every time I feel like I'm going into that dark space or a depression, my daughter has a way of getting me out of it, you know. But now this is, I haven't seen her. She hasn't been out here in a year. I talk to my daughter all the time, every day. But living with her for this past almost month, I see that she's really growing and she's a teenager. She's going through those emotions. She's going through those phases where she thinks she knows everything. She thinks she's grown.
Did you take Veronica O'Bang's advice last week about how not to fight with her about everything and let her?
Yeah, I did. And it worked. We had a really, really deep heart to heart a few nights before she left. And we just kind of got everything out on the table, like on why dad left, why dad does this, or, you know, how I'm trying to do everything for not myself, but for you. And she understood. And she said some really sweet things to me. And it made me feel really good. She told me, Dad, I'm proud of you. I know who you are. I see you in these streets. Like, I know who my dad is. But no matter how many people come to me and say, oh, my God, your dad. She said, you're just still my dad.
Mm. Well, that's good.
And it warmed my soul.
I don't have anybody talking to me like that. But, you know, I just realized my selfish ass, at least right now, don't want no kids because I'm just on a mission. I just can't. But I did spend this past week. I went to Miami for a few days with the team. And I only seen Floyd for a day, but the next day I went and celebrated with Winnie Harlow. She just turned 24 years old. Winnie Harlow is out in the street. She's a boss. She is making moves. David Grubman, who owns Live and Komodo, paid for this beautiful birthday dinner that we had in the 7th Streeter. Was there? Shout out to 7th Streeter. But we had a good time. Oh, Serge Ibaka was there. Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, that's that name. He sounds like he's rich.
Well, yeah, he's a basketball player. He's really rich.
Okay, I don't know what it is.
It's like a $65 million deal. But anyway, he's so fucking nice. We exchanged numbers because he has a show where he has celebrities and people come on where they cook really crazy wild food and don't tell you what it is until they reveal it, and then you got to eat it.
Oh, no, I'm good on that.
So I told him we're going to do it.
Who is we?
We.
What, Hollywood Unlocked?
The Showcast.
What kind of shit was you eating, though?
It could be anaconda.
Oh, no.
It could be roaches.
No.
It could be, whatever. But yeah, we're going to do it. So anyway, that was great. And then the next night I went to party with Trey Songz at 11. And I will tell you, I drank so much fucking Hennessy that
you
night.
You look Trey, like Tabato now.
I looked at Trey and I text Trey. I said, I now understand what it looks like to have a lion. No, to have a piece of meat surrounded by a bunch of lions. All of the women in the club wanted to fuck Trey.
Yeah, he was at Star Hookah about a month ago, and it was the same thing.
It was insane. I texted him, he said, now you get it.
I don't see what girls see in that dude.
Listen, Trey's attractive. Trey is Trey Songz. We're going to give it to him. Trey Songz is attractive, and he has the right amount of, you know that hair that goes between your belly button and your penis?
The happy trail?
He has the happiest trail I've ever seen in my life. Just tell him from his foes. But anyway, shout out to Trey. He showed me a lot of love. It was literally me, the dude I came with, Trey, and a bunch of girls.
You said a spot called 11?
It's 11, a club, yeah.
And
it was so funny because I did flex my clout at the door. I get out the SUV with this fine-ass boy, I go up to the front, and the guy's like, yeah, you know, you're going to have to wait for Trey. I'm like, no, I'm not waiting for nobody. Right. I'm on TV, nigga. And the funny thing is, he didn't know who I was, but the guy that was running everything did. Was
that's
like, nah,
the beauty
cool.
part about it.
He was like, I know that guy. He cool. Come on. You've been in here before. I'm like, yeah. Nigga,
I love when they do that to me. Can I give you a compliment?
Yeah.
I've been watching you on Wild N Out, and you're doing really fucking good.
Thank you.
Like, I really genuinely found, like I said, before I watched your first episode that I watched, I said, I'm going to watch this like I don't know him. Like, mm-hmm. I don't work with him. And you genuinely had me laughing.
Oh, tonight's, well, first of all, I want to say to the viewers who think me and Gio don't like each other, that's funny. You did text me privately, too, to tell me that I was doing a good job. And I do receive that because I was terrified. Like, I'm not a comic. I'm not a rapper. But I'm up there holding my own. And out of this season, I'd have to say I'm having the biggest moment so far.
You look comfortable. And you're getting more comfortable every time I see an episode. It looks progressively like you're getting more and more confident. You're doing fucking good, man.
Thank you. I'll be honest with you. Well, tonight's episodes are hilarious.
You're in the bed with a man, I see.
But the funny part, because this will have aired by then, so I'll say it. So Big Baby comes up to me, and he's just like, okay, we're going to have fun. And, you know, and I'm terrified because I got to wear pajamas on TV, and I'm in a onesie, and there's a bed on stage. I'm like, first of all, between both of us big niggas getting on that little ass bed, like, nigga, we can have a disastrous moment in front of television. So I did some really interesting shit. Like, I went around and I poked the bed. You know, production wasn't watching, but I was like sitting on the bed, and I was laying on the bed, and I was, what's this bed made of? Is this IKEA? Because if it's IKEA bed, we not getting on the bed. Right. But anyway, once I realized what it was so funny. He was just like, let's have fun with it, man, and you know, whatever. So I didn't know that I was going to go against him. When I saw our faces pop up on the thing, I'm like, oh, shit, they didn't put me in it. But we played it off, and I had told myself I'm not getting in that bed with a man because I've done so much gay shit this season. I'm not going to do that. But he didn't know I was going to get in the bed, and I ended up getting in the bed. And you have to see, you'll see what happened, but it was so funny. But I'm having fun. But I'll be honest with you, season 12 was harder than season 11.
I could believe that, man. There's some heavy hitters on there. But I will say this. It's a lot of people in there that's just fillers. I think that they're using just for their followers to promote. Because there's a lot of big people on there. I'm not going to say their names. That I have not seen touch the mic once. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. But the heavy hitters like Chico and Carlos and Emmanuel, they're so fucking good.
No, they're
beasts.
They're brilliant.
Yeah,
they I would like to say I vibe with everybody. You know, there's some people that I think have warmed up to me a little bit more now. Last season when I came in, you know, did I tell you how I introduced myself to everybody?
When you first went to camp?
Yeah, we're sitting there all in the big circle. And so they're like, everybody introduce yourself. So all the young people, you know, the Rennies and them and people. Hi, I'm Rennie. I do this. I'm from this place. And, you know, this is why I'm doing this. And hi, I'm so-and-so. When I got to me, I said, hey, I'm 40, I'm gay, I'm an alcoholic. If you come for me, I'm going to come for you. But if not, we cool. Like, let's have a good time. I talk shit for a living. You know, that. Mm-hmm. And the people, they warmed up to it. But what I love about the cast is they welcome me in. Like, the first season I was on last season that's airing now, they all welcome me in. This season when I came back, I'll never forget Charlie Clips and Conceited walking up to me and said, bro, you fucking killed last season and all the vets have been talking about you. I'm like, oh, for real? Cool. But they've showed me a lot of love. So, and Justina calls me, and people will call when I have the moments.
I love
but
her.
This season, I've had a lot of good looks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see how season 12 pans out because I was really uncomfortable this season because we moved to Atlanta. It's a different vibe. You know, you host a lot of venues and you, the audience matters.
That's very fucking true.
You know, New York was that audience was on fire. It was multicultural. Atlanta was just straight up, are you twerking or not?
Get him to come back to L.A. where it originated from.
Yeah, but L.A., from what I heard, didn't really give the reactions. Like, they didn't give the energy, you know. But we're there for one more season, and then I don't know where the show's going to go or whatever. I don't know how long I'm going to be on the show. But I have been receiving really good feedback.
You've been doing great. And good shout out to you for having the Hollywood Unlocked branded on the back of Eddie.
You know I'm going to represent.
All day.
Okay, so other than that, I then flew to Delaware, and I had never been to Delaware.
I was just about to say, that's so fucking random. Why are you in Delaware?
Cardi and Offset's publicist, Patience, who's a good friend of mine, she started a day party to support her interns. And the party was called Trap Stock. And I'm thinking, they ain't got no black people in Delaware. Did you know there were black people in Delaware? Did you know that?
Are you dead serious right now?
I'm serious. Did you know there are black people?
It's niggas everywhere.
No, but I mean like all black people. Their city's all black.
In Delaware?
And can I tell you the beautiful black people? Like these were beautiful. All shades of melanin were in Delaware. I had never seen, you know, our people get together. You always have some crazy shit. You got Uncle Lou. You got, you know, she to be smoking the pot. Something's going on. These people were so beautiful. But the funniest thing was I caught a train. I caught a flight to Philly. I took an Uber from Philly to Delaware. I then took an Uber to the party. So when I get to the party, it's on a farm. And so the Uber's driving me down this dirt road. And there's people lined up at cars and drinking and talking or whatever. And there's a car blocking the pathway to get to the front halfway up this dirt road. So I have to get out the Uber and walk from there to the front of the party. So I'm like, sir, you can't drop me off right here like this. I can't get out right here. I got on white Nikes. These niggas is going to know who I am. There ain't no way to call nobody. I'm going to be out here by myself. I got on all types of shit. My MC. So I had to get out and walk. The funniest shit, bro, I put on my glasses and my backpack and I was just trucking. And they was like, hey, ain't you? I was like, nah, I ain't him. But I got in. The party was cool. Hennessy was there. Shout out to Hennessy.
That's her sister?
Yeah.
Her fine ass.
Yeah, we had a good time.
She's single, you know.
She was with her girlfriend. Anyway.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.